I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. When we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Today we're going to continue in our series, Multiply. We started the series the first of the year here called Multiply. We believe God is teaching us to position ourselves for Him to multiply in our life. We spent the first month talking about position, how we are putting God back at the first, renewing our relationship with Christ, going back to the first things, remembering from where we came, remembering to put Him at the top of our list as far as priorities, and scooting aside the things that have crowded out our time with Him and are now we're putting Him back at the pinnacle, the top of our relationship. Now, today I want to talk to you about what happened to your dream. What happened to your dream? We just saw there a quick insert today of Dr. King's greatest speech. I believe it's one of the greatest dream speeches ever given. And I watched recently the movie Selma that's out with my children, and we watched, and I was amazed at the wisdom that God used in his dream, and how not only did he give him a dream to help liberate the people who were being oppressed, but also seen how they used nonviolence to move that, and how that was the whole movement of Dr. King was, we're going to march without retaliation. We're going to take the punches. We're going to be put in jail. We're going to be arrested. We're going to take the beating. Some of us are going to take being killed. We're going to be martyred for the dream. And how that was so opposite of what had happened before. It's even opposite of what we're seeing today, where people are protesting through violence and through protesting through burning buildings and looting and robbing. And it's so different today. And I thought, God, you give the man so much wisdom, even though he was not without fault. God used him in a great way with the dream. And I wonder how many of us today, you know, I was thinking about today's Super Bowl Sunday and how many of those teams of the Patriots and Seahawks, how many of those players who had never played on the Super Bowl team before are now playing in the Super Bowl for the first time? And for if you've ever played football before, whether it's in the backyard as friends, or you played in a little league or junior high or high school or college or pro, whatever it is today, the pinnacle of all the dreams of anyone who's ever played football is like, man, I wish I could play in the Super Bowl. Even the people who have made it to the Hall of Fame but never played in the Super Bowl will tell you, they're like, man, I would gladly trade my Hall of Fame jacket for a Super Bowl ring any day. I mean, it's the pinnacle of every football player's dream. And today I wonder, what has happened to your dream? What has happened to your dream? Many of you here have had dreams in your life only to see them slip away or to be forgotten or, you know, think that I'm not qualified anymore. Things have happened. Who stole your dream and what happened to your dream? I love what we see here in Acts 2:17. And it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Now, the last days, according to what Scripture calls the last days, we're living in that time frame. Whether the last days is one more day, whether it's 100 years or 1,000 years, is not relevant. But what's relevant is this, is that according to what Scripture says is the last days, we're living in that time frame. And he says, in these last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. How many say, I want that? Yes, I want God to pour out his Spirit. I tell you, there's several articles going around now about why people are leaving the church and why the church is failing. And I will just tell you this. When the Spirit of God shows up, people will be there. Let me say again. When the Spirit of God shows up, people will be there. When people are genuine about the praise, when they're genuine about the relationship with God, when they're sincere about getting to know who God is in their life, and the Spirit of God is showing up, or you're just not showing up to go through the motions, but the presence of God is filling this place, and your life is being changed, and you're being discipled, and you're pursuing God, People want to be a part of something that's real. And when those things are happening, people are flooding to those places. So we say, yes, God, pour out your spirit to us here at Destiny. I love what he says, the last part is, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Isn't that a great promise? Your young men and women, they're going to see visions. They're going to prophesy about the things of God and what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. But I love he says that your old men are going to dream dreams. This is old men and old women, okay? Don't be looking at your husband thinking, God's speaking to you through dreams. I love it because what I like about it is this, is that many of us have had visions as our youth. In our youth, we had visions to do things for God. We had dreams to do things for God. But God says, I will give your old men dreams again. He will give us those dreams again if we'll position ourselves to hear his voice. He wants to impart new dreams. It was Abraham who got a dream that God said, I want to start a new nation in you. I've got a promised land for your people. I've got a son I want to give you. He was very old of age when this happened. And so this is things that God, we see God wanting to do. He's wanting us to dream. But what happened to your dream? I believe in this room, we have all these people listed when it comes to dreams. We have people without any dream. Some people, you've never dreamed before. You've never allowed yourself to dream before. There's people in this room, you don't have any dreams. Maybe when you get old, you got old, and I met people who didn't dream, and they say, man, my biggest regret is I didn't dream bigger in my life. I didn't accomplish something other than outside my box. You know, it's Helen Keller who made the statement about, you know, the saddest thing is not a blind person, but the saddest thing is a person without any vision in their life. Not a person without sight, it's a person without vision. You know, a person who doesn't dream, a person who has a vision beyond their own self. We have people without dreams. We have people here with low dreams. You have a dream, but it's pretty low. They're pretty small dreams. They're kind of limited to your faith. Whatever faith level you have is kind of the dream level you have. You know, you have small dreams because you have small faith. And God wants us to have bigger dreams and bigger faith. We have people here, you have dreams, but they're wrong dreams. You're big dreamers, all right, but the dream is all about you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You got some big dreams there. And not that God doesn't want you to have big dreams for yourself. That's not what I'm saying. But if your dream is not connected to the kingdom of God, your dream is too small. May I say this, your dream is too selfish. If your dream is too all about you, your dream is wrong. It should be about God. How can I be used for the kingdom of God? How can what I do be connected to the kingdom of God? And then we have those who have vague dreams. You have a dream, but it's kind of unclear. I want to do something for God. I want to do something big, but I don't know what it looks like. Come on, I've been there before. You know what I'm talking about. It's kind of, you kind of got hope, but you don't really know which direction to go. And then there's people in here, you have God dreams. That's a dream where you say, it's a God-given dream where the things God has given me to do in my life is connected to advancing the kingdom of God. And so today, I want to talk to you and ask you that question, what happened to your dream? I like the story of Peter and Judas because it really paints a controversy here, a contradiction of two people who both blew it. Both of these guys blew it with God. Both of them denied Christ. Remember, Judas denied Christ, gave him up for the silver. Peter denied Christ three times after Christ was taken away. Remember that? Even though Christ warned both of them, they both still denied Christ. They both pretty much committed the same sin. Judas couldn't forgive himself, so he goes out and commits suicide. Peter later on gets restored and gets brought back into the disciplehood and becomes one of the greatest men we see in the New Testament. So what's the difference? They both made the same mistake. One lost the dream. One picked back up the dream later on in his life and continued to have a big dream in his life. So let's look at Peter's pattern here. Let's see what Peter did in his life when it comes to dreams. And let's see how God does things with dreams in our life. I believe they correlate right here. Let me give you the first thing we see about dreams is this. A dream begins when Jesus interrupts your routine. A dream will begin when Jesus decides to interrupt your routine. God tells Peter to throw out his nets again. We see this happening here. Peter's out fishing. Now, some of you think Peter was just some big redneck, you know, out there in overalls. Now, we see those stories of Peter. You ever go to one of the stories? It always seems like Peter's got the big, untamed beard, you know. He's always the biggest guy there, the burly guy, the rough around the edges. Kind of portray him to be the big redneck. But that's not really true of Peter at all. Matter of fact, Peter was a businessman. He wasn't just fishing on the side of the beach. He was fishing in his mini boats that he had. That oftentimes we see he had many multiple boats fishing, and he had many people working for him in this business. And God shows up, and they've been fishing, not catching any fish. Jesus shows up and says, "Hey, guys, throw your nets out on the other side." They're like, "Well, the fish aren't, they're not running. There's no current, nothing happening here. We're trying to cast our nets, not catching any fish. Fish aren't out there." He goes, "Just try it. Cast your nets out the other side." And they throw their nets out the other side. And it says that their nets became so full of fish that Pete's like, "Dude, get over here and help us." He had to call the other boats to come and help him pull all the fish in, to the point that says their nets were breaking. You're talking about a miracle happening. They're catching no fish all night. Jesus shows up, says, "Cast out your nets again," and then they're at capacity. What's happening here? They start pulling in their fish. Their boat begins to sink because they got so many fish. I mean, they're talking about a lot of fish. These guys are fishing. They go fishing with Jay Tao. I mean, they are catching the fish. He does it illegally, doesn't he? I know he's playing around. They catch the fish like that. And what's happening here, all of a sudden, when this happens, Jesus shows up in the middle of the routine and says, "Hey, do it my way." I love it when Jesus just shows up in our everyday life and says, "Hey, I got a different plan for you. Hey, I want to interrupt your routine." And all of a sudden, Peter realizes that this is Jesus, because he being a fisherman, he realizes there's no way that many fish would get in my net. That's never happened before. More or less, when we've been fishing all night, can't catch anything. And now all of a sudden, our nets are breaking the capacity. He's like, "This is the Son of God. This is Jesus." He realizes it. Let's pick up the story right here in Luke 5:6. "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled for other partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink." You're talking about the fish here. "Then Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man.'" See, many times this is what happens in our life. Jesus shows up in our daily routine, and we're like, "Jesus, I am not worthy to be part of your dream. I'm not worthy to be part of this routine you're calling me to be a part of. Jesus, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence." Many of you here, you realize the sinful past that you've had and the shame of your past. And when Jesus interrupts your routine, all of a sudden, you're like, "Jesus, I'm not worthy of this dream." He begins to talk to you and call you out of your boat and speak directly to you. And you say, "I'm not worthy of that dream. No, no. God, you can never use me in this capacity. I'm unworthy." We see Peter trying to disqualify himself. See, the enemy will always try to make you feel the shame. Why? Because if he can get you feeling shame, then you will not embrace the dream that God has for your life. God's got a God dream that he wants you to embrace, but if he can get you caught up in the shame, that's why we spent many messages here talking about how big God's grace is in our life, because I want you to be free to dream big dreams for your life. I want you to be free to know God's got a plan for your life. And he wants to use every person in this room today. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've done in your past, God's got a plan for your life. And when you have a revelation of his grace, you can move beyond your shame and guilt, and then God calls you out of dream. I love this statement. I thought about this, and I wanted to share with you today. Everybody say, "I did it, I admit it, I quit it, so forget it." Let's say it together. "I did it, I admit it, I quit it, so forget it." One more time. "I did it, I admit it, I quit it, so forget it." This is what we got to have a mindset of. You know what? When you admit that you've made mistakes, you know how freeing that is? Do you know how freeing as your pastor it is for me to get up and say, you know what? I've blown it in my life before. I've made some big mistakes in my life before. It allows me to be more transparent in communicating the gospel. It also sets me free to you knowing that I'm not perfect. And you're not perfect either, so don't act like you are. So I admit it, that I've done some things in my past I'm not proud of. I quit doing those things, and now I am moving on, forgetting it. And so when you have come against shame in your life, remember that. Man, I did it. Yeah, I admit it. But I'm moving on. I've made that mistake. I quit doing it, and I'm forgetting it now, moving forward, because God's got a vision, and he's got a dream for my life. Look what happened now in Luke 5:10. Let's see the last part of the story. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. Don't you love that? Don't be afraid of the vision I'm going to give you. From now on, you will fish for people. I love this. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed after Jesus. I love that Jesus tells Simon Peter, hey, I know you fish for fish, but from now on, you're going to fish for people. Because what we miss many times is this, is that God wants to take the very thing we're doing today and make it a part of his dream. I mean, we think the dream is something so far in advance. Could it be that God wants to use you at your work tomorrow to be part of his dream? Could it be that God wants to use you at your school tomorrow to be part of his dream? Come here, Pastor TJ. One of the things I like about Pastor, I didn't even do this in the first service, so he doesn't have no idea what I'm going to say about him. He's like, what's he going to make me do? I didn't even wear my good shoes today. He's all thinking, all right, just playing. He always looks sharp. One of the things I appreciate about Pastor TJ is this, is that he's working part-time for the church, as many of our staff is, working part-time for the church, and he's not yet working full-time as he will someday as we continue to grow. So in the meantime, of course, he's working a job like many of our other staff does as well, and like you do as well. And it'd be very easy for Pastor TJ to say, you know what? Well, I do ministry at church, and I'm just doing this job until I work full-time in ministry. But I will tell you this, in the two jobs I know you've had since you've been living here in this area and going to our church, that at every job, he's winning people to Jesus. He's bringing people to church, and people are showing up all the time. Why? Because he's connecting his job, not with a job, but with being a representation of a God's dream for his life. See, God's dream is not, it's not happen to what's going to happen on stage. God's dream is happen what happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Are you following me? See, our dream, thank you. Our dream for God is not, well, one day I want to be on the mission field. Well, tomorrow you're going to enter a mission field. What are you going to do? God's dream is intertwined with what we do in life. God wants to raise up more businessmen and women who can have an impact with their business on reaching a community for the gospel of Christ. How do you intertwine? God, how do the things you've called me to be, how does that intertwine with your vision for the, advancing the kingdom of God? He says, you're a fisher of fish. Now I'm going to turn you around and make you a fisher of men. I love this, that it intertwines it. Number two, we're living God's dream. Opens up your life to unlimited possibilities. Living God's dream opens up your life to unlimited possibilities. I mean, when Peter decided to follow after Christ, think about the things he witnessed. I mean, he walked in and saw the lame healed. He saw the lame walk. He saw Jesus take mud balls and put them in people's eyes who were blind, and all of a sudden their eyes be opened and appear and can see. He saw the dead man being raised out of the grave and come out of the grave. And he says, loose that man and set him free. And that man was alive, who had been dead for many days. He witnessed the healing of his mother-in-law. Well, maybe that's not a God dream. But still, my mother-in-law was in the first service. I couldn't tell that joke. Now I get to tell it here. But he saw him do so many things in his family. He saw a little boy give a snack pack up, and Jesus multiply that one meal and feed the 5,000 men and multiple children and women. I mean, can you think of the things that Peter experienced because he said yes to God's dream? The things he began to see and experience. One of the greatest things that he ever saw
was when they said there was a time that, you know, God, he saw a big thing in his life. And God walked out on the ocean. The disciples were in a boat, it says, and a storm arose, and they saw a man walking toward them. And they said, "That's Jesus." And Peter said, "Hey, Jesus, is that you? Invite me to come to you." And Jesus calls Peter out, and Peter gets out of the boat, begins to walk on water toward Jesus. And it says that as the winds blew and the waves got big, that Peter got distracted and got afraid, and he began to sink, and he calls upon Jesus, and Jesus reaches out and picks him up, and he corrects him. He says, "Oh, Pete, man, you got a little faith, a little faith." I love it, first of all, that Jesus corrects us while he reaches out to us. See, sometimes he'll do that to us. Sometimes we'll blow it. Sometimes we'll miss it, and he'll reach out, pick us up, and say, "Hey, increase your faith, increase your faith." That's all right. And a lot of times Peter gets a bad rap because, you know, he did that. But you know what I got to say? At least Peter had enough spiritual guts to get out of the boat. How many of us stay in a boat all of our life and never experiencing anything great that God has for us? I mean, at least he takes a chance. At least he dreams a dream. Yeah, he messed up, but who cares? He got out of the boat. See, to dream God's dreams, you're going to have unlimited opportunities to see God do big things in your midst. The third thing is a dream from God. It can be lost. I want you to know this. A dream from God, it can be lost. And many of you here, you can relate to this because you've had some big dreams for God that you've allowed to be lost in your life. You know, if today, if you were in an airplane and it went down in the ocean, or a boat began to sink and you jumped into a raft out in the middle of the ocean, what would you have to do to cause your raft to drift away? What would you have to do to cause your raft to drift away? Nothing. Just being out there, your raft's going to drift away if you do nothing, right? Some of you are going to follow me this morning. See, many of us, we've drifted away from God's dream from our life, not because we did anything wrong, but because we did nothing. We were afraid to get out of the boat. We were afraid to paddle for God. We were afraid to have start kick-starting and swimming and doing anything. So we just lay there and drifted along, and all of a sudden we wake up one day and look up. We took a spiritual nap and woke up and looked up. And we're like, "Where are we?" "I don't know, but we're far away from where we started." See, Peter had the same mentality. We see the same thing happening in Peter's life. Peter began to get overconfident. "No, God, not me. No, God, not me." Look what 1 Corinthians 10:12 says when it talks about us being overconfident. "If you think you're standing strong, be careful what? Not to fall." You may think you're strong. You may think you would never deny God. You may think you'll never blow it. But he says, be careful, because you're in a dangerous place to fall when you think you won't. I can tell you today that I know a lot of great pastors and great leaders who said they would never fall and have fallen, make big mistakes. And I can tell you this, that my plan here at Destiny Church is to be here a long time. And my plan is to never make a mistake. But I can tell you this, if I'm in the right situation, I can be tempted just like you. And I've got to keep my guard up as well. And I've got to protect myself. And I can't become overconfident thinking I'm beyond falling. You are, I am, we all are. We've got to say, you know what? I can't be so overconfident that I can't think I'm beyond making mistakes, because I will and can't. Peter had gotten so full of himself, he was like, whatever. Jesus even said, "Pete, before the rooster crows, three times tonight, you're going to deny me." "Not I. Not me. This is Pete. I'm Rocky. Remember? You called me Rock.
You called me the Rock.
You called me the Rock. This is Rocky you're talking to here. Pete, I would never fail you." But yet we see the night before Jesus' crucifixion, he says, "I'm going to the garden to pray." It says he asked a couple of his close disciples, Peter being one of them. He said, "Hey, come on, just pray with me for a little bit here." I said, Jesus went away to pray, and he returned, and he said, "Guys,
He looked up there, and these guys are supposed to be praying. They're like, I mean, these guys are out of it. They must have had some turkey for dinner. They were out of it. They're sleeping. And Jesus simply says to them, guys, could you not just pray with me 1 hour? Could you not tarry? Could you not pray with me even 1 hour? I mean, I know you don't realize what I'm getting ready to go through, but I asked you to pray with me for just for a little bit. I need your support. And I come back, you're sleeping. And we're like, man, if Jesus asked me to pray, I would have prayed an hour. Come on, really? Let's be honest today. If I called a prayer meeting Wednesday night, we'd have less than 10% show up. Ooh, I know. What I'm trying to say is just not to make you feel guilty, just to say, we're no different than Peter. Don't think you're all that spiritual as well. We struggle with some of the same things, and we allow ourselves to drift away. Because why? Because we do nothing. See, having a God dream, we can lose that dream when we do nothing. We can lose it. It can be lost. Peter, could you not pray with me for an hour? Then the fourth thing I love about dreaming, though, this is the great part of the story. God will always offer us another opportunity. As long as we're alive, God will always offer us another opportunity to dream. For those of you who lost your dream, God gives other opportunities for you to dream again. God speaks out to dream again. How many remember the little red Esky sketch? Remember those? We had those things as kids, and we would draw with them, and if you didn't like what she's drawing, you just shake it. Slate was clean. Now they just take out the iPad and kind of, you know, just draw with a finger. They don't realize the pain it took to draw a straight line. They don't. The kids never understand today. They're like, just hours in the car trying to draw something simple. But when you messed up, you could just shake it and start over again. I believe that God many times will shake us and start over again. God's like, hey, wake up. Quit drifting. Quit drifting. I got something new for you. I got something new for you. I want to speak into your life again. Jesus will always offer opportunities, as long as we're alive, to rekindle our dreams. So Peter denies Christ. He goes into hiding. He's fearing for his life. Out of guilt and shame, he automatically disqualifies himself from being a disciple. Jesus is buried. Now he's resurrected. And it says that one day Jesus shows up on the shoreline and sees Pete out there with some other guys, John the Beloved, and some more of his crew. And he went back to the very thing he knew, fishing again. And he's out there fishing. And what so be happened, Jesus shows up on a night when they're catching no fish. Does it ring a bell to a similar story? Jesus shows up, they're catching no fish, and he yells out from the shore, hey guys, cast your nets out to the other side one more time. And I'm like, we ain't caught anything, but all right. Throws it out. I mean, is this story ringing a bell to you? Peter's first encounter, Jesus shows up in the very same way. And now Jesus shows back up in the middle of his routine, tells them to do the very same thing. Cast out your nets to the other side. It says they begin to pull them up and their nets are at capacity. They call the other boats, come and help us again. And John the Beloved, who's still close to Jesus, says, well, that's Jesus. See, Peter had drifted so far from Jesus, he didn't even recognize that Jesus was showing up in the very same way he had showed up before. But once he gets a revelation, wait a minute. This is the same story. This is the same Jesus is showing up in my routine again. He told me to cast my nets again. And the Son of God is risen and he's all over there calling out to me again. It says that Pete gets up and he puts his cloak around him and he jumps into the water. He doesn't say, Jesus asked me to walk on water. He jumps in, begins to swim, makes a beeline for Jesus. He gets to the shore, falls at Jesus' feet, and Jesus says, Pete, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Jesus. He says, then feed my lambs. Hey, Peter, do you really love me, though? Do you really love me?
Jesus, you know I love you. I love you. And feed my sheep. And the third time it says he asked him, Peter, do you really love me? And Peter's like, you know all things, Lord, and you know that I love you. I love that Jesus asked him three times because he checks his sincerity. Notice that? He didn't ask him at the first time he called him. But now he's saying, listen, are you really dedicated now? Are you ready to get back to work? Are you ready to embrace the vision again? He says, all right, let's go feed some sheep. I love that Jesus shows up in the middle of his routine once again and says that we're going to fish for men one more time. He just speaks back into him the very same way, the very same dream. You see, in our life, many of us here, as magicians come this morning, many of us here, we've lost that dream. God's spoken things into our life, and we've let that dream slip away. But I'm here to tell you that he wants to show back up into your routine again and say, I didn't forget that dream. Oh, you thought it was going to happen this way. You thought it was going to happen in full-time ministry. You thought it was going to happen through this vocational. I've got a different plan for you. I've still got an anointing on your life to reach people. I've still got an anointing on your life to feed my lambs. I've still got an anointing on your life to feed the sheep. I've still given you a fisherman's mentality where you can reach people. You just didn't know where you was going to fish at. And now I'm going to use you in your school, in your work, in your neighborhood, in your family to reach people, which is what I've always called you to do. Today, how many of us want to allow God to breathe new dreams in our life? I want to ask you just to bow your heads this morning. I want to ask this question. Before we go any further today, I want to make sure everybody here, you say, Pastor, before I can dream a big dream for God, I, first of all, I just got to give my heart to God. I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today, I want to accept Jesus. Ask him to forgive me my sins and ask him into my heart today. I want to start a relationship with Jesus Christ. I've never prayed that prayer before. And today I want to pray that prayer. We're not going to embarrass you and nobody's looking around right now but me. We're not going to do anything to call you out and embarrass you. But I want to give you a chance just to make that decision. To say, that's me today. I want to accept Jesus Christ. Today's my day. Raise your hand. That's you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? Thank you. Thank you. You never accepted Jesus today. You want to pray that prayer for the first time. If you haven't raise it right now. Join those today. Yeah. Thank you guys for being honest. We're going to say this prayer together. Those of you who raised your hands, I want you to say this prayer out loud with us. As Christians, we're going to say it with you to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I give you all of my life, all of my hurt, all of my dreams, everything I am today, I place in your hands. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today from your heart, you meant it. You say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give him a hand. Yeah. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. How many today would say, Pastor, I'm being honest, I want God to renew my dream. Anybody here? I want God to speak to me and dream again. I'm tired of disqualifying myself. I'm tired of disqualifying myself. I'm tired of drifting slowly away. I want God to speak to me in new dreams. Anybody here, that's me? Come on, raise a high, that's you. Yeah. Several people today. We're going to sing this song as we close today. It simply says, I surrender. See, that's where it starts at. A life of surrender. Hearing God's voice again, God showing up into your routine, simply starts. You say, God, I surrender my life to you fully. If you want to step out of your seat today and come to the front and worship with us, say, that's my word today. I'm declaring on my life. You're welcome to do that. You don't have to. For those who want to, I invite you, step out and say, God, I'm surrendering my life to you. I want your dream for my life. Let's declare it to the Lord today. We surrender.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all. and find me, Lord, as you draw me near, desperate for you. Before you, and I
raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Can I do that today? Father, I thank you for every person lifting their hands up today as a sign of surrender. And I pray right now that God, you begin to speak again to lost dreams. To those who had dreams in their youth, that God, you begin to speak. That you begin to show up in their daily routine. And God, you begin to speak to them once again and show them that you're trying to pull them into the fishers of men. And God, you want to use them. And God, you're speaking new dreams, fresh dreams today. God, I come against every spirit of shame, disqualification, laziness, whatever it was, God, that caused us to miss your dream. I pray right now that God, you begin to allow the same spirit that called out Peter a second time, that you would call out to us one more time. And God, we respond to your voice. We respond to your vision, to your dream. And God, I pray today to your release and multiplication of dreams in this house. Godly dreams, kingdom-driven dreams. Father, in the name of Jesus, if you receive that word today, put your hands together and bless the Lord one more time. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hey, expect them to show up this week. Expect them to show up in your work and speak to you. Let me one more time remind you, if you haven't signed up for the missions on the 28th, sign up for that as well. Have fun at your Super Bowl parties tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Have an awesome week, guys. We'll be right back.